A mirror is a smooth surface that reflects the images of objects. But to Dr. America, a mirror is a smooth surface that reflects the patterns of culture. It's a visual echo, and like television, it's a way of seeing. As a matter of physics, mirrors reflect exactly the patterns of light and shade that hit them. But as a matter of culture, there can be significant distortions, because mirrors reflect not just the way we are, but also the way we hope to be. For example, when we look at the mirror in the morning, we're trained by years of advice and advertising to see not just our own reflection, but its relationship to the ideal images we see on TV. We're also trained to focus on particulars. We don't usually see the whole picture, but we concentrate on the so-called problem areas. Dr. America's mirror highlights his pattern baldness. The teenage boy sees his pimples and the size of his nose. The teenage girl worries about her makeup and her hair. Mirrors reflect light to the eye, but what a person actually sees results from the cultural conditioning of the capital I, the socialized self. Mirrors support a kind of psychic schizophrenia. A mirror distances us from ourselves and lets us see the self as others do. For a few minutes, we are both seer and seen, both in our body and, apparently, out of it. We become a sight to ourselves. Mirrors permit us to objectify ourselves and to look at ourselves as others see us. We each become what sociologist Charles Cooley calls the looking glass self. Mirrors are also an essential prop in what analyst Irving Goffman calls the presentation of self in everyday life. Mirrors help us with impression management as we manage our appearance to manage the response of others. American culture teaches us to be attractive and to dress for success, and the mirror allows us to see if we've succeeded. And mirrors are almost omnipresent in the American built environment. Shopping centers, for example, are rife with mirrors. There, even before we stand in front of them, they serve several purposes. Because they reflect light without any additional electricity, mirrors can be an efficient way to bring light to space. Because they duplicate what faces them, they can double the apparent depth of a room or the drama of an engaging light display. Mirrors are marvelous, enthuses visual merchandiser Martin Pegler. They can add depth, width, and height to a display. They can reveal new angles and attitudes. Mirrors keep store spaces visually interesting. They make it hard for people to pass by a storefront or a store display. And that's good for business, says retail anthropologist Paco Underhill, because mirrors slow shoppers in their tracks, a very good thing for whatever merchandise happens to be in the vicinity. Mirrors slow us down, and they also make us more likely to buy. In the mall, a mirror is a commercial form of self-consciousness. The mirror is where we try on different clothes and identities. There should be a mirror anywhere there's merchandise that can be tried on or even just held up for inspection, advises Underhill. If you pick up an item and can see in an instant how it looks on you, you might buy it. If you've got to search for a mirror, at least some of the time, you'll decide it's not worth the trouble. Mirrors also reinforce Americans' fascination with the surface of life. They are reflective, but they don't seem to make us reflective. For example, mirrors let us think about what looks good, but not about what counts as good. We look at the mirror not just to see how we look, but to see how we measure up to cultural standards of appearance. So even when there's nothing between me and the mirror, there's still a ghost in the way. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, gazing in the mirror of American culture.